need God to do something special. We trust God to do that. Now, get your Bible out. Again, he turns to the table of contents. He turns to the table of contents, finds the book of Micah. Rumbles through. Next week is our last week on this because we're doing one at a time. Book of Micah, stand for the reading of the word. And get your table of contents out if you can't find it. And get to it. Let's see what God's got in store for us. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, small verse. And we're going to talk about this verse a lot. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. In other words, I've already shown it to you. You don't have to beat us up. God doesn't have to beat you up. I don't have to follow behind you and beat you with the Bible. Your wife doesn't have to beat you. You ain't got to beat your wife and children with the Bible. God, not only has he showed us, he's put it in here. You feel it. You know it. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. This is what God doesn't just require of the preacher, the deacons, the clerk. He requires this of every Christian. Y'all say everybody.
Everybody.
He's about to say he didn't leave you out. But to do justice, we were talking about it last week, to love mercy. Y'all say love mercy.
Love mercy.
And to walk humbly with thy God. God's got this. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you, God, for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. I thank you, God, for what you've done for us and what you're doing through us. I ask you right now to help us, God, to know that we're doing what you required of us. I ask you right now to touch it in a very powerful way. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. All right, you can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say that. Well, that was very luck. You said it with me. Oh, okay. Thank you, Doug. I feel better now. Yeah, I pulled up to the detention center, and I'm driving Linda's vehicle right now. And on the back, she's got warning. In case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. It's amazing because when I pull up to a stoplight, every time I pull up to a stoplight in Greenville, cell phones go up. And I said, it's good advertising. If you keep taking it, I pulled up one place the other day and let it come beside me. She went, she got to say, I like your car. I said, yeah, I like Nissan. Not the Nissan, the window. I said, the rapture thing. She says, yes. I said, I like it too unless the rapture takes place. I'm still driving. I'm not going to like it then. Every time this little boy went over to his buddy's house, little Mitchell, every time he went to his buddy's house, he found his friend's grandmother deeply engrossed in her Bible. Finally, his curiosity got the best of him. He said, why do you suppose your grandmother reads the Bible so much? I'm not sure, said his friend, but I think she's cramming for finals. you know what? Jesus is getting ready to come back, so we're cramming for finals right now. Isn't that cool? There we go. The Gospel of Micah, 6 and 8. What does God require and expect for us? Mindset on the offense. Not the mindset that's offense, but the mindset on offense. That Texas pro quarterback that wound up getting a chance to play and wound up being bad to the bone. I can't think of his name right now. Some of y'all might know it, but when he won one of the championships, and when he got up on the television and said, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then I want to thank my teammates because it weren't just me, it was everybody. And NBC cut out the part about, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can watch it. You can see it. They cut it out. So last night, he won the offensive player of the year. And I watched it this morning just to see what he said. And the very first thing he said was, he held up the trophy and he says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And people started clapping because they know what happened to him. NBC did to him. They started clapping when he said that. So, he's making a difference in all kinds of ways for God. We can make that same kind of difference, although we might not be a professional ball player. Some may never be a professional ball player. I'm one of them. But we can still make a difference in people's lives. So, let's look at this. The Gospel of Micah. Let's go ahead and read this, and we'll watch this. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord must require of you, but to do justly. This is the New King James Version. But do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Now this here is the New Century Version. The Lord has told you, human, what is good. He has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people. Love. Don't say love. Love being kind to other people, others. Live humbly, obeying your God. And then one more. The message. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. So let's just go up a little bit further here. This whole year we've been talking about realigning our vision. Get back in there, because since 2020, it's been all over the place. And right now it's election season. And it's because it's election season. Whoa. Every day before election, every day the headlines were changing. But now, whoa. It's so amazing what's going on. What people are speculating and what's going to happen and blah, 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 blah. If you're not careful, all of this clutter is going to clutter up your spiritual mind. And you get so worn out and get so cluttered in your mind that you can't do what God required you to do. So we're realigning our vision. The message is a profound call to action. It's a divine mandate. God is telling us what he requires of us, again, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with a God. I can't say it enough. It's a call that challenges us. It examines our hearts. It checks out our actions. And it calls us to align our lives with the will of God. So this is so powerful. That one little bitty verse, that's why I call it the Gospel of Micah. That one little bitty verse is so profound. And if you couldn't think of any other verses you want to live with, that one right there is a very, very powerful one. Because it contains 3 points, and each point can stand by itself. Because it is an essential pillar to the Christian walk. It's vital that we learn this, that we get in our spirit, that we understand God wants us to replicate him. God wants us to do, not only look, do unto others what you have them do unto you, but at the same time, love God in the middle of this thing. So, in the very beginning, we talked about this mindset and the mindset being led by faith. And in the last week, we talked about the offensive mindset being led by agape love, the love of God. And so if you take the love of God, that's supernatural love, and you take a match with the supernatural power of God, then it builds an unstoppable mindset. So let's just go a little bit further here. Again, this is the New Testament version. Ready? Christian Standard Bible says, Teacher, which command in the law was the greatest? He said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depending on these two commands. Thought about that. How would you like to be in a championship game? It's the last play of the game, and you intercept the football. Y'all are down by just a couple of points, but you see the goal line. And you give room with all your heart because you know it. You can win that championship if you get over that goal. And this really happens. And you notice that you're outrunning everybody. And you find out when you get across the goal line that you got disoriented and run across the wrong goal line and gave up the game. That can happen to us. If we're following all this stuff God says to do, but we refuse, we don't understand, we don't get it. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Amplified Bible says, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment of law?" And Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these commandments. I don't want to run all that way and find out when I get before God, it goes, "Yeah, you did this, and this, but you didn't love me. You definitely love others." So, it'll be a sad, sad time. Let's keep going. We're going to talk about mercy. Grace is when God gives us good things that we don't deserve. Mercy is when He spares us from the bad things that we do deserve. Blessings are when He is generous with both. God is good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. So watch this. God wants us to manifest His mercy in our lives. How many in here are absolutely perfect? You don't need grace. You don't need mercy. You're absolutely perfect. Man, the hands are not going up. None of us can live without grace. None of us can live without mercy. But so many times, we sense and we don't give the grace that others need or the mercy that others need. So when we consider the mercy of God, we're reminded of His unending love and His grace toward us, and His mercy is a continuous flow. Y'all say this to me. Continuous flow. When He was pierced on Calvary and the blood came out of Him, a continuous flow began to come before us all. A continuous flow of forgiveness, a continual flow of compassion, and it's that mercy that God has called all of us. Not just the preacher, not just whoever. God calls us all to show this mercy and compassion. But God is so rich in His mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. Let's just look at that a little bit further. Get ready? New King James Version. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, we were gone. Y'all say we were gone. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. The Amplified Bible. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of it, in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He has loved us. Now think about that. The great, wonderful, intense love He has for each of us. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, that same new life in which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you do not deserve, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Let's get ready to dig on down here. Y'all say, go ahead and lower the plow, Pastor. Get ready. He didn't say, he said, do justice. He didn't say, show mercy. He said, love mercy. That's powerful. Not show mercy, although that's part of it. He said, love mercy. So here we go. Let's go. Let's take this a little deeper here. If we're going to love mercy, first it's going to require us to let go of our pride. Ding, 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 ding. Let go of our pride and let go of our desire for revenge. That's hard. If this isn't hard for you, adjust your halo. That can be hard sometimes. When my pride has been stomped on, and when I know I've got all rights to get back, God says, love mercy. Love mercy. It's going to get, y'all said let down the plow, so here it comes. But get ready to go deeper. Love mercy means to desire to reach out. Not just let go of your pride, not just let go of that urge to get revenge. It means love, mercy, desire. Reach out. Have it in you. Reach out for God's love and show them what it's all about. It requires us to forgive even when it hurts. The Bible says one of the attributes of God, 1 John 4:16, says, God is what? Love. He's love. It's that he loved, it's that he is love. He's the essence of love. He shows us his attribute. And the Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his son. Knowing that we're gay means he set him up to be crucified. He set him up. And now he requires us to forgive even when it hurts. But when we choose to extend mercy, we're reflecting God. Wow. We're showing God. When we show mercy, we are choosing to love as he loves and to forgive as he forgives. That doesn't mean if somebody committed a crime against you and whatever, that they still have to go to court and pay the cost. I'm not talking about that. Because if you do the crime, then you're going to pull time. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that there was a man on a bus up in New York. He was trying to reach these gangs. And what David Wilkerson was another guy. He was trying to reach these gangs. And he was on a bus trying to get to them, city bus. And the guys in the gang beat him almost to his death. They captured the guys. This guy's in the hospital. When it comes time for these guys to go to the court, this man had gotten out of the hospital and he was in the courtroom. And when he sentenced all the guys, he raised his hand and said, can I say something, Judge? And the judge says, okay, go ahead. He said, if you'll let me, I'll pull their time. True story. And the judge said, you are not going to pull their time. They have to pull it. But when he said that, their family members were in there. Here he was trying to get his little mission off the ground and couldn't get it going. So after he offered to pull their time, he goes back to the little mission. And the next service, this guy's family, these guys, their families, were in his church. And with the help of these families, the church began to grow. And he ministered to the guys while they were in prison. And when they got out of prison, they also began to come to this church. And it was amazing how this church began to flourish. And it all started with one man willing to show mercy to a group of guys that tried to kill him. You never know when you show mercy what it's going to do. So how do we do this? How do we manifest mercy in our lives? How do we reflect God? It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about God. How do we show others this mercy? How do we show them why God has shown us? Again, grace is when you get the good things you don't deserve. Mercy is when you're spared from the bad things you do deserve. God is generous to both of them. I'm going to keep putting that out there. I'm going to keep that in our minds. Anytime we begin to think that we'd never do that, maybe not, but there is things you have done. Well, I would never do such and such. I would never get caught up in that. Hey, maybe not, but I promise you, there's no perfect one in this place. Remember tell you about the guy was preaching, said there was one perfect man, one perfect man on this earth, and that was Jesus. And this guy on the back kept raising his hand. So the preacher said, please talk to me. He said, I just want to tell you I beg to differ with you. He said, beg to differ with me? He said, yes. He said, there was one perfect man, that was Jesus. And the guy said, no, there was two. He said, well, who was the first one? Well, the first one was Jesus. Who's the other one, pray tell? He said, my wife's first husband. How do we show this mercy? Number one, we got to understand what mercy is. Get ready. Mercy is not just forgiveness, but it's also about compassion. It's about seeing the needs of others and responding with kindness and understanding. Again, it doesn't mean it's a get-out-of-jail-free card for folks. No. Somebody does the type of crime, they're going to do the time. I'm talking about our attitudes toward them. When Bethany, I tried hard her whole life, but especially at the end, I told Bethany, I said, Bethany, I don't want you going out of here harboring resentment to your dad, your stepdad, your father. I'm her dad. Her father, her stepfather, and her mother. Linda and I was her mom and dad. She said, you're my dad, and Linda's my mom. Y'all. I said, I know, but I'm talking about these three people. I said, it's so important. Yes, it took all those years to get your face rebuilt. And yes, it took all those years, another year to get your nose rebuilt. And yes, all this time has caused trouble after trouble after trouble. And it seems like most of them got off kind of real easy. She said, I know, Dad. That aggravates me. I said, I know. I said, all but one wound up life in prison, but the other two, nope. I said, Bethany, we have to let Caesar take care of that. But you can't go out of here without showing grace and mercy. He says, I think I have, Dad. Can you help me? And I said, Bethany, let me tell you, when I'm helping you, I'm helping me because I have a hard time with it too. And so together, we forgave them all. And said, God, they're in your hands. Caesar, they're in your hands. But as far as us, we're going to forgive them. And we're going to trust you to take care of the rest. It's about putting ourselves in others' shoes. Treating them how we want to be treated. That's loving mercy. Look, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, here it is again, but because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. Number one, you can understand what it is, and you got to put aside that feeling of revenge and all that. First, we understand mercy is. Second, let's remember that mercy is a choice. A choice. I can't make you show mercy. God's not going to make you show mercy. Satan can't stop you from showing mercy. The only thing that will stop you from showing mercy is you. We have that choice to make. So, when we can be showing mercy, watch this. There's a problem with that. You ever had a problem showing mercy? I have. I'm not perfect. When they asked me, when I saw that video of when Bethany was 2 years old and how her stepdad had beat her up and molested her, and I saw that bloody body that she had, all those bruises and her teeth chipped and man's handprint on her face, I got so mad, the social worker said, are you all right? I said, I'll be right back. And I went to the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, all right, preacher, get it together. And I was so hot, tears, and I walked by the couch and said, okay, would you go visit him in the prison and pray for him? And I said, please let me. Just put me in there with him, though, and I'll lay hands on him. And she said, I don't think you're ready for that. We're all human. The problem with showing mercy is a choice. Watch this. Mercy doesn't come natural. Like God's mercy. It does not come natural. It's something that you must consciously choose. You have to consciously extend God's mercy. You have to think about it this way. I'm God's representative. I'm God's representative on earth. When I'm walking, he's walking in my shoes, and he wants me to walk in his shoes. He wants me to be his hand extended. Every day we're faced with opportunities to show mercy. Whether it's just forgiving somebody that hurts you, or whether it's just showing kindness to someone in need. We have the choice to show mercy. James chapter 2, verse 13 says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Woo! What does that mean? With the same hand you dealt out, the same hand you're going to give. Too many of us walk around like we're the judge and the jury. There's two kind of judgments in the Bible. One God tells us to do. That judgment is discernment. You discern, you can tell the fruit of it, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. You can discern people. That's one judgment. We're to do that one. But the judgment that crucifies them has them on the tree. God said, that's my business, not yours. So, that kind of judgment, no. And he said, for judgment without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Woo, there's judgment coming. If you can't show it, I promise you, whatever how you show it is how it's coming back to you. Well, you don't know that enemy. No, I don't, but God does. And God still wrote this. The judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. When I stand before God, I want to hear him say, good, well done, my good, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not, so you were judge and jury. Welcome to the big judge. And I'm the jury. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, let's go ahead and go to three. Now, I know this is tough, but we're realigning our vision. We're getting things back in order. This is a little tough, but it's coming up shortly. It's going to get lighter, I promise you. But right now, we're realigning our vision. We're getting back, we're getting our pages correct. Third, we must recognize mercy is a reflection of God's character. When we show mercy, we're reflecting the heart of God. Get ready. When you show mercy, you show the world what God is like. Wow. I'll let it sink in. This is a great responsibility, but it's also a great privilege. When people see you reaching out, I've had them tell me, when you reached out to me, and I've just been mean to you, and I've been bad to you, and you reached out to me. I told this story when there was this guy found who hated my boss. Hated him. And when my boss quit, he was the vice president of engineering. When he quit, he gave me his, not the vice president job, but one of the jobs that he did. I said, $9,000, he gave it to me. And also I was the second manager. And I remember this guy, after he used to cuss the other guy, started cussing me. He knew I was a minister. He knew I was trying to treat everybody godly and treat show mercy, and he would cuss me every chance he got. He would set me up. And I just keep on showing him mercy. And one day he came to me and he said, instead of calling me those names, he called me. He said, Rev. I said, something's up, he's calling me Rev. I said, what can I do for you, buddy? He said, they're getting ready to fire me. I said, why are they going to fire you? He said, look at this. And there's a couple of $1 million boats. And he had powder coat. There was a couple of $1 million boats that had shabby powder coating on them. And he said, if I'm going to do this kind of work, I can't work at this company. He said, I didn't do that, Rev. I promise I didn't do that. Can you help me? The flesh side of me said, you're reaping what you sow, bud. You're reaping it. That's the flesh side. But the mercy side said, do something. And so I went through all the records, and I did it with a fine-tooth comb. And I found out that those boats that he got credit for were the last two boats of the guy that got fired. And he took his place, and he was trying to set up this new guy. And I took it before Mr. Fountain. The other guys will say, this guy didn't do this. He didn't do it. I said, it's the guy y'all fired. That's the guy that done this. You need to leave this guy alone. And so they said, we're glad you showed us that. We're not going to fire him. The next day, he came up to my office and he said, thank you, Rev. I said, thank you for what? He said, you saved my job. And from that time on, he never cussed me. He had all his bad words. He said, never again. I left to come here. Years later, he retired, and he moved beside my father-in-law. My father-in-law was talking to him and said, so you retired? And he said, yeah. He said, where did you used to work? He said, Fountain Power Boats. He said, my son-in-law used to work there. He said, who's your son? He said, David Lynn. And he said, the guy started crying. Big old Marine started crying. And my father said, he didn't know what he had done, but he, you know, it's a big guy. I'm not sure if I should have done what I've done, but he cried. And he said, and I just looked at him and swayed and he said, you don't understand. He said, are you okay? He said, you don't understand what that man means to me. He said, I was mean to him. And said, well, when he had a chance to let me get fired, he dug down deep and he found a way and proved that I was the one to take my child. He said, there's nothing I won't do for that man. Mercy. Mercy. When I had the chance, I chose mercy. I could have turned my back. I could have said easily, bye. But no, I thought, at least give him the opportunity. Amen? So, lastly, you must realize that mercy is a journey. It's not something that we can just master overnight. It's not something that we have to grow over time, over time, over time, over time. It's something that we have to do a little bit at a time and figure this thing out. We just cannot do it once. We got to figure it out, tweak it, and adjust it. Because remember, there's a big difference. A big difference in letting Caesar do what Caesar's going to do and let us show mercy. So now, as we continue to walk with God, we have to let his word shape us and we have to become more and more merciful. Let me go back to mercy again and I'm getting rid of clothes. Brandon, here's a place for us, bro. Show mercy. You never know what storm they may be walking through. Wow. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own storm that we get other people are going through things too. We get so caught up in what we're doing, we forget what other people are doing. Biblical mercy. Let's just trek through this one more time. The term mercy is often used to describe God's character. His mercy requires steadfast love, his willingness to forgive, and his commitment to act on behalf of his people. How many times, look, if I was God, I don't know about y'all, but every time I got an arm, I said, God, I'm going to do it again. If I was God, you know, especially this time, I'm going to do it again, God, I promise. And a week or two later, goes, I told you I weren't, but I did it one more time. And then here goes again. I'm going, Lord, I really promise I need your help. Because if I was God, I'm going to give you some help right now. Zoom. But instead, he reaches down with love. Because mercy is to withhold deserved retribution. Deserved retribution. And God calls us to love mercy. Again, that word love is to desire, to seek, to hold close. When you love your spouse, and you love your children, when you love a co-worker, it's a whole lot different than you working with somebody you don't know. Also, it's a whole lot more different working with somebody that's really hard to get along with. When you're working with your spouse or with your children, that kind of love is so easy to show mercy. Give them one up to help them out. God says, I want you to know how to do that with everybody. Wow. When God calls us to mercy, he's essentially calling us to be like him. Amen? He wants us to be like him. You want to see this church fill up to where we got to build. I'm telling you, if we'll follow these three things, we did one last week, one this week, another one next week, we'll do those three things, this church will fill up. That's not my promise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He so desired and sought after and held us close that he gave his only begotten Son to die in our place. Here it goes. We're closing. Mercy in our lives is not just about our actions. It's about our hearts. It's about allowing God's mercy to transform us from the inside out. As we do this, God will not only experience the joy of God's forgiveness, or we won't just experience it, we will become channels of His mercy, channels of His grace. This week, we need to strive to manifest mercy in our lives, not by our own strength, but by the grace of God. I remember one of the first guys, years ago, my very first pastor, I remember a guy that showed me mercy and showed me how to live it out as I watched him do it on show other people. Y'all know him. Some of you, these are splendid. Man, did he show me some stuff. When I was ready to call it in, he'd go, "Glory!" And he'd show mercy. And I remember all those years I worked with him and showed me mercy. He got Alzheimer's. He was in the nursing home in Grantsboro. And I was in there singing to the people in the break room, and they had him locked in the Alzheimer's unit. But they let him come out as we were singing, and he sat right in front of me. And bless his heart, some of the songs we had sang all those years, he couldn't remember words. And he kept looking. All the time I was paying, he kept looking in this refrigerator beside me. Clear glass refrigerator. And finally, he looked at me in the leader's classic way. He said, "Hey, bud." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "My credit good here." And I said, "What you need, bro?" He said, "I'd like to get one of those pens." And I said, "Son, sir, your credit is always good with me." And I reached in and got him a drink and put a dollar in there. And he said, "Thanks, man. I'm not even sure he even knew who I was." But that didn't matter because I knew who he was. I remember the mercy he had showed so many people. Hiring people that nobody else would hire. Putting up with things nobody else would put up with. I remember that mercy. Instead of judgment, retribution this week, try mercy in all of our relationships, especially the close ones. And watch this week be a turnaround in your life. I mean a turnaround in your life and in your relationships. Everybody please stand. God is so good to us. God has done so much for us. But the biggest thing He's done for me is show me His grace and show me His mercy. I do my best to show His grace and show His mercy. Because He freely gave it to me, I want to freely give it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, number one, if you're here today and you would say, "I really, really, really want to do this, but I really first need to get myself better with God. I need God to strengthen me, to show me His grace and mercy in a powerful way right now, because I'll be honest with you, Pastor, I've been blowing a lot lately. I really need it." Nobody looking around? Every eye closed. And I'm talking, you put that hand up. You put a hand so I really, I really need it this week. I need it. Bless the Lord, bless him. Show it strong in your life. Maybe you're here today and you and God got it going on, but you don't always think about you or walking in his shoes and him walking in your shoes. You always think about me and his hand extended. Then I stopped. We go to the doctor last Thursday. I had to go to the doctor. And we come back by and we stopped to get something to eat, and the waitress come to us. And she told us, of course, that she was going to the ECU and that she was going to go to elementary ed. And there was something special about her. Man, there was something special about her. And we looked at her and told her, you realize you're teaching all these little ones, you're God's hand extended. And she stopped. And she said, thank you. I took off one of those great Bethany bracelets and I put it on her arm. She said, I can't take that. I said, yeah, you can. And she put it on there and I said, God's got you. You're his hand extended. And she said, you're going to make me cry right here. And she said, thank you. Thank you. I tip them all the time when I see them working, walking, worshiping grace. Your God's hand extended. Keep it going. Keep showing it. People need to see it, especially this last day when everybody's out for themselves and there's so much stuff going crazy. Show them love. Show them mercy. Show them grace. I want us all to pray together right now, and then we're going to close. Lord, we thank you.
We thank you.
For your grace.
For your grace.
And for your mercy. And
for your mercy.
Because of that, we are here today.
We are here.
We thank you, God.
We thank you, God.
That we have it.
That we have it.
Make it soon.
Make it soon.
We ask you right now.
We ask you right now.
To help us.
To help us.
To be your hand.
To your hand.
Extended.
Extended.
To be a channel. Of your love, of your grace, of your mercy.
Help us.
Treat us.
Treat us.
As we would like us to be treated.
We thank you for it,
God. Help us, Lord, not just show mercy. Help us to love mercy.
Help us to love mercy.
In the name of Jesus. We thank you for it all.
Thank you for it all.
Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, our brother Wade dismisses us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Father God, it's a privilege and honor to be able to stand up this morning and say we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We ask you to be with us, be in Barney's house today, Lord, and we show the mercy and grace to those that you have us encounter, Lord. Let us reach out like you did to us, Father, and show the love that we have for you that you have for us, Father. Father, be with us now. Keep us safe. Bring us back at the next appointed time. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, the honor, because it's in your Son's name who we ask this. And to this I do say, amen and amen.
Amen.